So, let's start. Today we're going to discuss the sugya of Eidei Kanas v'Shuas Eidos, and then more generally the status of Kanas and Halacha. So we have our Gemara on Shuas Lamed Gimel and Aleph that wants to know whether if you're Mashpia Eidei Kanas, meaning you ask people to come testify for you for something that they, if they were to testify, they'd be Mechayev. Shh. Yeah, I sent it out. If they testified for you, they'd be mechayev you a knas. Then, are they chayev for shuas edus when they're chovish their edus and nishba? That's the question the Gemara wants to know. So, what is this suffix of the Gemara? Why should we wonder about this? Shouldn't they certainly be chayev? So, there's two basic ways of reading the suffix of the Gemara. The first is that we're questioning the halachic status of knas as mamon. Right, we know that you need kvishas edus mamon in order to be chayav shuas edus. Is kvishas edus knas kvishas edus mamon or not? Right, because knas is an in-between status. So how much is knas like mamon and how much is knas not like mamon? That's what we want to know. We suggested that this is what the Rimigash, this is how the Rimigash and Rashi read this Gemara. I go back and forth whether I'm convinced with these readings or not in the Rimigash and Rashi. If anyone wants to weigh in, they're certainly welcome to. Rashi, I'm definitely not convinced. Because Rashi, so again, the question in the Gemara is an open question. Is it a Shvuas Eidos Halacha or is it a Kanas Halacha? Right? Are we wondering about the requirements for Shvuas Eidos? How much do you need Mamon for Shvuas Eidos in order to be Chayav? Or is it a Kanas Halacha? How much is Kanas like Mamon? Right, so Rashi reads the Havamina of the Gemara, the question, the suffix in the Gemara. Deikal meimer knas lav mamon gamarhu deha I have a modem mifter legamri. Deikal meimer nami kol kamed lo odi mamonhu. Right, because you could say knas is not complete mamon because if you were mode you'd be pater, and you could say since he isn't, as long as he isn't mode, it's still mamon. Right, so Rosenzweig is reading that as like a metaphysical statement about the status of knas as mamon. I'm not exactly sure why. I think it could be an open question in Rashi whether he's saying that it's because Knas is not like Mamon, that's why it's not applicable for Shuas Eidos, or he's saying Knas has this in-between status, and you can look at it either way for Shuas Eidos. Right? You could say that, oh, we're going to consider it Mamon for Shuas Eidos, or you're not going to consider it Mamon for Shuas Eidos, because you have this factor of Imoda Mifter. Is that clear? Does anyone disagree? Does that mean everyone disagrees with the Rosenzweig?
I don't know. Rashi doesn't say that much. Rashi doesn't say that much. It's very open, very good.
Wow. I'm tagging Rashi now. At least I was just attacking a Rosenzweig. All right. Getting a little feisty today. Good. It's good for him, Torah. Okay. So the Rimigash, maybe a little more indicative that it's a question of the status of Knas. It's a suffix about whether Knas is like Mammon or not. The Rimigash Lashon is, Hadi Ba'ilam Mashbiyah the Knas Ma'o Perish Mi'am Rinan Kevan the Ilu Moda Hanitva Haya Pater Lav Edosu Tika Kafrile the Ilu Hava Isle Mammon Mamish Gabi Nitva Lohaya Mifter Vodas. So Midifter Vodas will command the Lesley Gabi Midi Dami to Halo Mammon Mamish Elachiv Ba'almahu. The Lohali Mammon Adamati Liade. So the Tzab Tur is that it's not, he has no Mammon. He has no monetary claim against the other person. It's just the chiyuv alma that the other guy has. Or do we say, no, it's still a chiyuv mamon. And even though it's a knas, it's a tvias knas de mamon. Kvias mamon de knas, sorry. Right, so the Rimigash does sound like he's wavering on this question of whether knas is like mamon or not. And that's gonna, there's going to be a nafkamina of that question in Shuas Eidos also. And then we're going to have to see if there are other nafkaminas as well. Is that clear? I just point out that some of the there's like a lot of achronish discussion on how to understand this Rimigash. So the footnotes of Rimigash understand that the question is whether the chiyuv that the nitva would have to pay is a chiyuv ba'alma or whether it's a chiyuv mamun that the toveya has against the nitva. So meaning it's not a question of the status of knas, it's a question. It is a question of the status of knas, but it's a question of whether we look at it as an obligation from the nitva to the toveya, or just an obligation on the nitva. Is that clear? Right. Meaning, is knas a chiyuv that the person who did the wrong thing has to give to the Toveya, or is it just a chiyuv? It happens to be that, that the Bezdin will say it goes to the Toveya.
You seem sort of like what Rebbe was saying for the Rambam, like that sort of
something along those lines. Yeah, it's a little shver this pshat, because it seems to be assuming that there is a chiyuv that exists. Either way, either it's a chiyuv that exists on the guy independently, or it's a chiyuv that exists toward the Toveya. But there hasn't been Hamad Bedin yet. Right, so it's a little shver that he thinks that both Tzadim assume that there is a Chiyuv. Right, because we talked a lot about how Knas might not be Chayiv at all until there's Hamad Bedin.
Is there enough between those two?
Seen which two?
Chayiv yourself and Chayiv to the other person.
Yeah, Shvuas Eidos. I mean, there might be others also, but that he's explaining that's the meaning, because you have to have a chiyuv etzel ha like legabe atoveya in order for the edim to say that, oh yeah, we have edus for you. Okay. So the Avi Ezri gives two different explanations for what the Rimigash is wavering on. So the first is that it's a question of whether there's already a chiyuv mamo that exists before the edim come. That's his first way of understanding the Rimigash. And he says that makes no sense, because we know that you're definitely not Chayav Mamon before the Eidim come, because you need Hamad Bedin. So then he says, no, that's not what it is. But the question is whether there's a Zechus Tviya of the Toveya, or there's a Zechus Tviyas Mamon. I mean, does he have the right to demand money, or does he just stand have the right to bring this guy to court? Because right, if it's just the right to bring the guy to court, that might not be sufficient to be Shvuas Eidos. Good? Okay. Though I'm not 100% sure if we said this explicitly in Shir, but I think the Ramban's shot on Lama Dalam Aleph is very well with this reading of the Gemara, that the Suffolk is about the status of Knas as Mamon. Right? Because the Ramban read the Gemara as La'achar Gmar Din. That the Suffolk of the Gemara is La'achar Gmar Din, whether Ede Knas would be Chayev or not. Right? So there the question is, La'achar Gmar Din, does Knas retain its status as Knas, or does it transform into normal monetary obligations? That would be how you'd read the Gemara according to that one. Right? So it fits very nicely that the question of the Gemara is how much is Knas like Mammon and how much is it not? Right? Meaning, how much does Knas, once the Bezdin is Mechayev you, how much does that become like Mammon and how much does it stay? Does it retain its Knas identity? Yeah, I'm not saying it's Mechorach and Ramban, but yes.
What's the key to not
having Shvuas? I mean, I don't know, but I would guess that he would say, come testify for me that you were there when the Bezdin passed on this in a different Bezdin? Oh. Something like that? Or maybe he's Mashbiya the Dayanin? To come testify in a different court? Something like that?
Okay. It's going to be to get this view somehow.
I assume so. Does that make sense? Does anyone know?
Is that the case in the Gemara? Like we had the, what's it called, you're being testifying on if the case actually happened, if the Beis Din Paskin, like what the view was?
But, I mean, I don't know which Gemara you're talking about. You're talking about the Gemara Ksuvas Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, whatever?
No, on, is it Makos? Wait, what's that?
Okay, if you think about it, you'll let me know, okay? Just shout it out once you get it. The other main way of reading the Gemara is that what we're doing here is we're testing the requirements for Shvuas Eidos. How much do you need for Shvuas Eidos in order to be Chayav Shvuas Eidos? Right? Does it need to be Mamon Gamor, or does it not need to be Mamon Gamor? So within this, there's two different ways to break this down. So first of all, we have the Rambam's reading. The Rambam says that the reason why Mashpia Eide Knas, the Eide Knas are Pater, is because even if they were come testify, they're not being Mechayiv the Nitva by themselves. They're not self-sufficiently determining the Chiyuv. You also need the Kvira of the other guy. Because if he were to be Modeh, he'd be Pater. So since he doesn't determine since the Eidim don't determine the Chiyuv by themselves, they won't be Chayav Shvuas Eidos. Okay, so if the Rambam, this has nothing to do with Knas at all. Knas, it's not about the question of the status of Knas, whether it's Mamon or not. It's not even about the question of whether the quasi-status of Knas would be sufficient for Shvuas Eidos. It's a separate question. Knas is definitely enough with its mamun aspect to be mechayev Shvuas Eidos. Question is a side question. There's a separate requirement that Edim have to be, or there's a separate question, do Edim have to be entirely determining the Chiyuv or not? That's the suffix of the Gemara for the Rambam. Good? The other way to read this, though I'm not sure if we quoted anyone or saw anyone that said like this, is that the suffix of the Gemara is the in-between status of Knas enough for Shvuas Eidos? Meaning we know that Knas has this quasi-Mamon status, quasi-not-Mamon status. Will that suffice for Shvuas Eidos, or do you need Mamon Gamor? That's the 2B way of reading the suffix of the Gemara. Good? Clear, everyone? Okay, so now we want to move on. We want to try to figure out what is the relationship between Knas and Mamon. So first of all, factually, what distinguishes Knas and Mamon? So if you look at Rashi on Arag Gemara, Tibar Maskel Mishum Bosha Supagam, Rashi explains that Bosha Supagam can't be Knasos, because the Ha'ika Mamon, the Knas Davar HaKatsu B'Torah, Kengon Shloshim Shal Eved, Bein Eved Yakar, Bein Eved Zul. So for davar she'eino katzuv, that's by definition mamon. Right, so knas has to be something that has to be a davar katzuv. That's the first thing that distinguishes it from mamon. The second thing we point to that distinguishes from mamon is the Rambam in Nizkei Mamon, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, that says that if you ever pay a different value than the amount that you damaged, that will be knas. Regardless whether you're paying more or less, if you're not paying the amount that you damage, that's clearly a knas. Right, so those are two factual things that distinguish knas and mamon from each other. Good? Okay, so are we going to equate knas and mamon for different rules of Choshen Mishpat? So the first thing we pointed to, or maybe not the first thing chronologically, but one of the things we pointed to was whether there's a din of Eidos Miyuchedes for knasos. Right, so we know that for Nefashos you can't have Eidos Miyuchedes. For Mamonos you can. What about for Knas? Yeah? Everyone? Anyone? Remember? Great. Between?
Sos and someone.
So the Taz says that there's no Eidos Miyuchedes for Knas, meaning that it's a problem. You can't have Eidos Miyuchedes for Knas. The Sos disagrees and says, of course you can. And then the Nesivo says that Eidos Miyuchedes of like Echad Michalon Zeh, Echad Michalon Zeh would work, but you can't have Eidos on two different Maisim. You can't have one Eid being testifying on one Maisa and another Eid testifying on a different Maisa. Presumably the Ketzos would agree with that Nesivos. And then it's a secondary Machlokas that they're having over there. Okay. Fine. That's a little bit of a side issue. Now we want to talk about the main issues of Knas. Okay, so we're gonna deal with a few different big questions here. The first one is, what determines the Chiyuv Knas? What generates that Chiyuv Knas? Is it the action you do once you steal your Chayav Kefel? Once you're Mefate, your Chayav, the, I don't even know what it is. What's the value of Chayav Mefate? Chamishim Shkalim Le'aba. Okay. Is it the action you do that's mechayev you, or is it that the bezdin creates the chiyuv once you're standing in court? Your action, you did something, but you're not chayev until the bezdin comes along and is mechayev you. Okay, so how are we going to test this question? So first of all, it's important to note that the Yerushalmi basically has this machloka straight out. Yerushalmi in Ksuvis Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph has machlokas whether knas is chayev mishar rishona or lebasof. The way that most Mefarshim take that is as exactly this question: whether you're chayav mishas ma'aser or chayav mishas hamad b'din. So the Ramban in Ksuvas on Membez Ubi Yerushalmi quotes this Yerushalmi and explains it exactly like this. And he says that according to the Manda Amar, that mishar rishona you're chayav knas, so of course you'd be able to be morish knas lebanov. Good. Okay, so let's talk about that Afkamina now. So can you be morish knas lebanav? Can you be morish a knas if the bezdin hasn't imposed it yet? So the Mishnah in Ksuvis on Daf Mem Aleph Mabez talks about a case of ones and pitoy, and the question is, who gets that knas? So normally, obviously, the father gets it. Let's say the father dies. So who gets that knas? So the Gemara distinguishes, the Mishnah distinguishes between whether there was a hamada bedin, whether the court already gave a verdict that the guy is chayav for his knas, and when there was no hamada bedin, the court hadn't yet made a decision. So when the court made a decision, so then the yorshim of the father get the knas from the mefateh. When there was no hamada bedin, so then she gets the knas for herself. Good. So why? What's the basis here? Shout it out. No one. Why would you be Morish Knas Labanov? Or why would you not be Morish Knas Labanov?
The Chiyuv exists prior to the death.
So presumably, if the Chiyuv exists, then you should be able to be Morish, and if the Chiyuv doesn't exist, you shouldn't. Good. The Gemara in Bava Kama on Ayin Alef Med Bez Aleph implies that you can be Morish Knas. Tosvos in that sugya in Bava Kama Ayin Bez Med Aleph explains that Machlokas Sugyos. So it's Machlokas whether you can be Morish Knas Labanov. Right, so presumably this turns on whether the Chiyuv exists beforehand, before the Hamada Bedin or not. Good? Okay. That's the first way of testing this question of whether the Chiyuv exists before. Number two. Is the person who does the wrong action, is he a Bar Chiyuva before the Hamada Bedin? So Lamayin Afkamina. So we quoted the Gemara in Makos on Haman Aleph. That says that if two Edim come along and testify that someone's Chayav, let's say, chayav $100 mamon for something that he for some reason because he's chayav on the 15th, and then two other edim come and say you're zonman, and then two other edim come and say he's chayav from the 13th already. So he's actually chayav earlier than the first edim that became zonman testified about. So we say in that case, are they chayav for mamon?
Yeah.
Someone came and predated them.
No,
not Chayev. Why not?
Yeah,
already a Bar Chiyuva. What about for Nefashos? Good, Chayev. What about Knas? So it's V'chein le'inyan tashlumei Knas. Come on, beer. Okay, so what's the basis for this? Why would it be that Knas is not Chayav? So it's not a Bar Chiyuva. Who says that?
Kveger,
good. So Rav Kveger points out that the reason why, the difference between Mamon and Knas is that for Mamon, the Chiyuv exists from the action you do. From the time you did the action, you're already Chayav. So if you did the action on the 13th, when the other Eidim come and say you did it on the 15th, you were already a Bar Chiyuva. But for Knas, when they come and say you did it on the 15th, even if you did it on the 13th, you're not chayav anything. You're only chayav once the second set of Edim come along and testify against you. That's what Rabbi Kveger says. What about Tosfos?
It's more likely that Edim will come from
Mamon. Well, yeah, I don't know, more likely that they'll come, more likely that the case will be decided based on them.
More likely that
right?
There will be few.
Yeah, right? But Mamon Avikar Levadeh, that's say what you said. Karl vada shiavo edim v'yaidu, aval be'edus nefashos de'bayin and drush v'chakira as vada amirin de kodem shting mardino lav havi bar chiyuva. Okay, that's interesting. You think that people wouldn't even come because it's drush v'chakira? It's like too scary. Okay, so the point is that it's a concern that it's a probability concern. How likely is it that once there are edim testifying against someone that he's chayav knas or chayav din nefashos that he will be found guilty? As opposed to Mamonos, where it's almost definite. Once you have Edim against the guy, he's clearly going to be found guilty.
Why is Knas any less likely than Mamon? Meaning, let's say Zela. It's a case of Mamon, when there are Edim. Knas is just as likely when there are Edim. You're going to have to pay Kevel. Because it doesn't include Knas.
I mean, he does.
At the beginning. But now when he goes on to explain the difference between Nevashos and Mamonos.
Does Edis Knas not Edis of Hakira?
No idea.
It can either be because of the Edis of Hakira or because of the Knas Lutter. So
evil to come.
The Registers are coming, but the Ultrish of the cure process is less likely that it's going to carry out a cure of Vajra's.
It's not doing really might. It's definitely going to affect the Mono. It's not going to even affect the cast of set.
Once you're already hyped the Mono, you hyped the cast of the region. Things that just
you even know part of it. Having this fight.
Pretty strong question. Anyone else have an, I don't know. I don't know if I can hear your answer. Anyone have an answer? That every time you have a chiyuv, let's say, geneva, so there's going to be a chiyuv knas coming along with it. So there should be no difference between the momenos and the knas part of it. It should be a bar chiyuva once you did the geneva. According to Tosso's answer. Yep, pretty solid question. No, no one. I don't know if it, would there be any nafkamina though, because, oh, I guess so, meaning whether the Eden's Omer Chayav, the Kefal part of their Chayav. Right? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, unless you want to say what Alex is saying to like fall back on like what Rashi is saying, that it's a Din and Mudah B'Knas. Everyone follow that? Okay? All right, if anyone has any other answers, please feel free to share. Okay. Okay, so presumably this machlokas between Tosfos and Rabbi Akiva Eiger depends on how much the Chiyuv Knas exists before the Amad Bedin. Right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives a very simple explanation, like there's no Chiyuv Knas at all before Amad Bedin. Tosfos presumably is giving this very roundabout answer because he wants to avoid saying that. Good? Okay. Yeah, I would point out that these first two nafkamina. So we're testing in general whether the chiyuv exists before the Amad Bedin. We have to always be cognizant of the fact that we're not just testing the Hilchos Knas issues, we're also testing different issues as well. And that it's possible that some of these issues are not going to be entirely determined by the question of Knas. Right? So, for example, you could say that there's definitely no chiyuv to pay a Knas, there's definitely no obligation of Knas. But that the obligation to show up in court and be judged is itself an inheritable chiyuv. Something along those lines. Right then, meaning that it's true that there's no chiyuv to pay the person you're mefate until the bezin decides. But you do have a chiyuv to show up and say and hear the testimony of against you and hear the claims against you. And that itself is inheritable. Good? Okay. Number three. Nafmi number three. Is there a chiyuv latzeis sadeh shemayim before hamad ebedin? So the Gemara in Bava Kama on Ayin Dalam Abayis gives a story with Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabban Gamliel is very happy because he goes to Rabbi Yeshua and he says, did you hear that my slave goes free? My slave Tevi goes free? And Rabbi Yeshua says, why? And he says, I blinded him. And he says, but there's no edim. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, you see from this Gemara that there's clearly no chiyuv latzeis sadeh shemayim. Because if there were a chiyuv latzeis sadeh shemayim to pay your knas, even without hamad ebedin, so then Rabban Gamliel should still have to free a slave to be yotzei sadeh shemayim. And so he should still be able to be happy that he gets to free a slave. Right? The Yerushalmi in Ksuvah is even more explicit. Gimel Yud, where the Yerushalmi says that we see from this story that you're not chayav latzeis sadeh shemayim. Okay, so why are you not chayav latzeis sadeh shemayim? Everyone, jump in. Oh. There's no chiyuv. Very good. Okay, there's a very interesting Rav Chanan and Wasserman and Kovitz Yurim. Leah, do you want to jump in here? I didn't see this inside, I will admit. So. Did you see this inside? Oh, yeah? So, go for it.
That's it.
Wow. I think I got more from the Masivta.
There needs to be some sort of like onish that you feel as a punishment. So same way that if there is a hodah, right? So if there's a hodah, the whole point of the hodah is that you don't feel like you're having onish anymore because you're committing to the wrongdoing. So to the fact that basically Kaab is coming and implementing the chiyuv creates an onish.
Yeah. So I mean the point is that the Torah obligates and not just the monetary payment, but it obligates that you have to have a punishment. So anytime you do it volitionally, that defeats the entire purpose. So it's not that there's no chiyuv latzei shidei shamayim to return the object. It's that you can't be mekayim anything by trying to give it back. Because if you're giving it volitionally, then you haven't done anything because you haven't fulfilled your knas. You're giving a matana ba'alma. Very sharp shot. What? Very sharp shot.
It's still pretty annoying to have to give a knas even if you're
such a cheap Jew. Okay. Can you be mochel the chi of knas before hamad b'din? So Tos was in Ksuvis Chaf Tes Mer Aleph says that this machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What? Chafs are C's and Kufs are K's.
Why do you think the Chaf looks like this?
Like again in the front row. Okay, so what does this machlokes depend on? What does machlokes depend on? Whether you can be mocha the knas?
Is there a theory out there you can decide to be mocha?
Good. So is there anything to be mocha? Right. Presumably, if there's no chiyuv knas, if there's no chiyuv at all that exists before the mother, then you can't be mocha anything.
You can also go back to your whole thing of I'm mocha my right to take you to bid and then later.
Right. Yeah. Definitely true. So yeah. That's a lot of these things are going to depend on both halachos, like on both issues, the knas issue and then whatever halacha we're dealing with. Okay, what about shmita? Shmita mishamit knasos, chiyuv knasos. So the Mishnah in Shvius Yud Perik Yud Halacha Mishnah Beis says that it's not Shvius, not mishamit. The Rambam in Perish Mishnah was there explains. Should I have the lashon? Might as well read it. The chena knasos shachayav. Hashem la'ones mefate umut. Oh, chamisha. No, chayav Hashem la'ones mefate umut yishemra. Einam chov kishar chovo. So it's not a regular chov. Elohim knasos mutalim al oso adam. Lo yiftarenu elatishlo ma shechayvo Hashem l'shalim. They're not like normal chovos. They're not just obligations that you have to pay. Rather, they're fines that Hashem imposes on you. And you don't become putter unless you pay them. Unless you fulfill your obligation from Hashem to pay them. Meaning they're not obligations, they're not monetary obligations between parties. They're fines imposed on a person. He has to fulfill his I guess, biblical obligation to pay these fines. Good? Yeah? Everyone? Okay, so presumably here the question is not whether the chiyuv exists. Here the question is the type of chiyuv that exists. Because here it doesn't seem like the Rambam is appealing to the fact that there is no chov that exists. He's appealing to the fact that the type of chov that exists isn't a monetary chov. It's not an obligation that exists between parties. It's rather a doraisa that you have to pay this money as a fine. Right. So because this obligation doesn't exist as between you and the other person, it exists as a chiyuv from Hashem. That's why the Shemitah is not mishamed. V'chein haknasos shachayav Hashem la'ones mefate umotzi shemra einam chov keshar chovos elahim knasos mutalim al oso adam lo yiftarenu elatishlam ha-shachayav Hashem l'shalim.
That doesn't preclude the idea that it's a fee of two other individuals. It just says that also the source is from the Torah, so it's not mishalim. It could still be the Torah's mechayav me to pay you. Whereas generally, if I'm mechayav me to pay you, shmita's mishalim. If the Torah's mechayav me to pay you, shmita won't be mishalim.
The Torah is always mechayev me to pay you. It's like, I don't know, lova rasha like shalim or something. There is like an obligation to pay back loans.
It's like more of like a side din, the fact that you have to pay you back. But it's not like the Torah doesn't create the field. I voluntarily created the field. The point would just be here, the Torah created the field by saying you have to pay. So therefore, Shmita's not mishalim. That's not necessarily taking a stance on like the nature of the field beyond whether or not Shmita will cancel it. It's not saying that God made the field. And it's not a chiyuv to the other person. All it's saying is that the Torah made the chiyuv. It could still be chiyuv, okay?
Not the impression I got from reading the Rambam. Okay, I have to think about it.
Why is the other guy? Why is he? Because of Shabbat.
sort of criticism. You have to pay the other guy.
That's the whole thing. The whole question of the Kesef Mishnah. Every quote that you have, some of the Torah wants you to pay. And so what's the difference between this Knas and regular monetary obligation?
In a general monetary obligation, you choose to enter into that transaction by saying, I want to borrow money or whatever. Here, you didn't choose to owe money. The Torah, because of the Knas, made you owe money.
I don't know, why is that a relevant factor for Shemitah?
I mean, that's just, I mean, I can give like a bunch of random svaras. That's just like a question of how does Shemitah...
Can you give a billion?
Huh?
Can you give a billion?
I said a bunch of random svaras. You give a bunch of random svaras. Like, for whatever reason Shemitah works, if you have a debt, it doesn't work here. Like, that's a side question. The point is just that you involuntarily entered into the debt.
I mean, it's not a side question, that's the question. He's, the Rambam is distinguishing between Knasos and Chovos for some relevant factor for why Shemitah wouldn't be Meshamin Knasos, but it would be Meshamin Chovos.
Yeah, sure. Maybe it's because like when you regularly enter a transaction voluntarily, you know Shemitah will be Meshamin it. But here the Torah imposes upon you, it's not contextual to the times that there's any like idea of it being canceled.
Okay.
My point is just that saying that God in the Torah commands it doesn't preclude it being towards somebody.
I mean, I'm not just saying it just because God commanded. I'm also saying because he's focusing on Shar Chovos versus Knasos Mutalos also Mutalim also Adam.
I hear. I'm just saying his emphasis seems a lot to be that it comes from Hashem, it comes from Torah. Not necessarily that it doesn't, that it's not towards someone else.
Okay. Fine. Okay, last nafkamina of this question of whether the Maisa Aver is what creates the Chiyuv Knas or whether it's the Hamad Abedin. So let's say your toe face before the Hamad Abedin. Let's say the Nizak is Tofes something before the Amad Abedin. Do we say Motzi Miyado or Ein Motzi Miyado? So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says Tofas L'mafkinan in a case of Knas. Rabbeinu Tam there in that Gemara limits it to if you take the object which was the Mazik. Meaning it's not a general rule that you're allowed to be Tofes Knas. It's a rule that you're allowed to be Tofes the thing that was Mazik. So if, let's say if a shore was Mazik, you're a shore, even if it's a shore Tam. You can be tofes from that shore itself. The Rama, quoted in the Rosh in Bava Kamma, Perek Aleph, Simen Chaf, says that you're allowed to be tofes up to the amount of money that you lost. And he explains that it's a takana to protect the nizak. We don't want him to lose out just because we're not necessarily going to be able to enforce it in court. So it's a takana. Both of those shitos don't really think that fundamentally you're able to be tofes any knasos. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh quote, and the Rosh says that it's definitely not a takana. It's a din d'oraisa of avin yesh ginal anafshei. And he says he can take everything that he's mechuyav midoraisa. Presumably, in a case of let's say gana v'tavak u'machar, he can be toe faced al behei. Good. The Shulchan Aruch also passes this in Choshen Mishpat Siman Aleph Halacha Hey. And I quoted. I guess not. There's a lot of discussion from the Achron about like how to deal with this rush because they're very bothered by this tfisa. If you want to look at the footnote that I put here, they're very bothered by saying tfisa works because the other nafmin is they're much more willing to explain away based on those local halachos that they don't really indicate that the chiyuv exists. Here, there's a very strong indication that the chiyuv exists before the amad b'din. Right? Itavos l'mafkina, I mean, it clearly indicates that there's a chiyuv that exists from the other guy, and you're a tofes, that you're enforcing that chiyuv by yourself. Avin yeshkina denafshe is a rule that applies when someone else has your money. Right? When someone else wrongfully has your money, you're able to go back and claim it from them. Right? Clearly, if you're able to be tofes knas, based on that principle, he has your money. Right? It's considered yours. Good? We brought up a parallel issue. So there's a lot of ibayi delifshitas with regard to Knas. The Rambam in Geneva, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, brings those down. And he says that Emotim Yado, Bezdin can't paskin. But if the guy, if the Nizak is toe-faced, then we don't take it away from him. The Raivi disagrees, and the Raivi says, no, what do you mean? Knas is not chayav unless the Bezdin says so. Here, there's a suffix, so the Bezdin can't paskin. So Tfisa's not going to work. Meaning the Ravid says that a suffik chiyuv for knas is a vaday p'tur. The moment you have a suffik, whether there's going to be a chiyuv knas, you're definitely p'tur because Bezdin can't be mechayev based on a suffik. Good? It's a very parallel issue. Whether there's a concept of tfisa for cases that Bezdin hasn't paskened on. Good. Okay, let's deal with another issue now. Moving on from whether the chiyuv starts from the Shas Maisa Avera or from the Hamad Abedin, how attached is the Chiyuv Knas to the Ma'aseh Avera? So here it's a different question. Let's assume for a second that there's no Chiyuv until Hamad Abedin, right? Because that's definitely the mainstream approach in the Gemaras and Rishonim, right? That there's no Chiyuv Knas until we come to court, the Edom testify, and the Bezin decide that you're Chiyuv Knas. How connected is that Knas to the Ma'aseh Avera? Okay, so why is it going to matter? So let's bring perhaps three nafkaminas that will I guess clarify this issue and make it a little crisper. So is there gvias knas l'mafreya? So Bezdin paskins that the guy is chayav knas. Can the nizak be tofes that l'mafreya? So my nafkamina. So there's machlokas in Bava Kama Lama Gimel Mar Aleph about a nizak who's makdish the short time before the Hamad Abedin. And the Gemara says it's a machlokas there between, I forgot, actually, Rishmal and someone. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Whether we say that the chiyuv, that the guy has to pay back the short tam, is a chiyuv mamon ba'alma, or whether the nizak becomes a meshutaf in the short tam. If he becomes a shutaf, then he can be makdish. And if it's just a chov, then he can't be makdish, because the guy has to pay him, but he hasn't paid him yet. He will pay him. He has a shiva to pay him. That's the Gemara's machlokas. Whether the nizak becomes a shutaf in the short time or whether he just has a shiva on it. Good. Tosos asks, what are you talking about? Even if he becomes a shutaf, he shouldn't be able to be makdish before the Hamad Abedin. He doesn't own it at all. Right. Good question. And it's the Hamad Abedin, he's a shutaf.
Oh, what's
presumably, meaning presumably there's no chiyuv until the Hamad Abedin. So he can't do anything before the Hamad Abedin. I was talking about a case where he was makdish it and then they had the Hamad Abedin. Yeah, if he's makdish it after the Hamad Abedin, then that would be an interesting question. Right? It's a shutaf that's makdish. Not an interesting question, whatever. Shutaf that's makdish. So Tosa's answer is that no, even though the chiyuv doesn't exist until the Hamad Abedin, like we know from the Gemara and Makos on Hamad Aleph with Edom Zomim, nonetheless, once the Bezdin paskins, he's a shutaf l'mafreya. Right, so he's a shutaf from the moment that he was nizak. Right, so here the point is that the Bezdin is the one that's in charge of creating the chiyuv. Right, the chiyuv doesn't exist until the Bezdin comes along and creates it. But they're not generating a chiyuv out of thin air. They're not imposing this random fine. This fine is directly connected to the Ma'aseh Nezikin, right? So much so that you become an owner of that of the shor of the thing that you're going to collect from that moment of Nezikin. Clear? Yes, everyone. Good. Okay, number two. So we mentioned that Kimle might be a nafkmina. So are we going to say Kinle Vidramine for Knossos? So I don't know if we saw any Makoros on this. I didn't see any Makoros on this. Anyone? Okay, Misvara, it makes a lot of sense that if the Chi of Knas is tied to the action itself, so then we're going to say Kinle. Right? Meaning if it's the Maisa Vera that's Mechayev Yu Dalad Behe, or Mechayev Kefel, so yeah, we're going to say Kinle. Right? Because the action itself was Mechayev two different things. Even if the Shas Chiyuv doesn't come until Bezdin decides the Archaya for it, right? It's still the action itself of doing the Tzvicha, let's say doing the Tzvicha on Shabbos, that's Mechayev the Dalar Behe. But if it's that the Bezdin comes along at a later point and just generates a new Chiyuv, this Chiyuv Knas, so then it's not the same action, right? The action that's Mechayev your Chilul Shabbos was a Tzvicha, the action that's Mechayev your Chiyuv Dalar Behe is the Psak Bezdin. Right, they just generated the chiyuv. Right, it's not directly tied to your tzvicha. Good. Number three. So the Gemara in Bava Kama on Samech Chayim Aleph brings the rule: Karen ke'ein sheganav tashlume kefel bishas hamad b'din. Right, so the value of the thing you steal, the karen of what you steal, is determined by the time that you steal it, but all the knossos are determined by the time that you stand in court. Right? So why would that be? presumably the Gemara is taking a very strong stance that the Tashlume Kefel, Dalav Behei, are not directly tied to the to the Gneva itself, to the Maisa Gneva. Is that clear? Right, because if we're tied to the Maisa Gneva, who cares that the Bezdin only realized that you're Chayav at a later point in time? Right, once they realize, okay, yeah, so you stole, so you're Chayav Dalav, you're Chayav Kefel, or you did Tzvicha Mechira, you're Chayav Dalav Behei, it should be from the time that you did it. Right, because it's tied to that action. But if it's that the Bezdin generates a new Chayav out of thin air, so it makes sense that whenever we're standing in court, that's the relevant time period. What? Discuss what? About what? Is there an issue?
No, I don't know.
Okay, we'll talk after. Okay. Yeah, and then finally, Rav Rosenzweig wanted to suggest that this is pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yugimel Beis Yudal Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if not for, I don't know what Shamor is. Anyone know? Who saved Smicha? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. If not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Smicha would have been lost. Sorry, if not for Rebutim Bava, Nishtaklu Knossos Mi Yisrael. Right, we would have forgotten Knossos. Why? Because without Smicha, you can't judge Dine Knossos. So a very simple question, why Knossos? You also can't judge Dine Nefashos. Right? So perhaps the answer is that since the Bezdin is in charge of not merely determining the fact that you're Chayev Knoss, but that they generate the Chiyuv themselves. The source of the Chiyuv is the Psak Bezdin. It's not the action you did. So this realm of Knossos is really dominated by Bezdin, even more than Nefashos. Right, so even if Nefashos, you're not a Bar Chiyuv until the Bezdin decides you're Chayuv, it's still the action that you did of murder that makes you Chayuv. It's still the Chilul Shabbos that makes you Chayuv. Right? For Knossos, it's not even the action you did. It's the Psak Bezdin itself which generates the Chiyuv. So perhaps that's why the Gemara focused on Knossos for what would have been lost without Smicha. Because that's like the epitome of like what the function of the Bezdin is. Good? Okay, two final issues. So very quickly, so once a Knas exists, does that mean that it's transformed into a normal Chiyav Mamon? Right, so the Bezdin comes along and paskins, you're Chayav Kefal, you're Chayav Dalav Behei, right, you're Chayav Chatzi Nezek. Is that a normal Chiyav Mamon at that point? Right, so we already pointed out that the Ramban in Shavuos thinks that this is Gufa the Safik. Right? Is something that's already post-psaked in, is that going to be chayav shvuos eidos or not? Right? So if you think not, then clearly you think that even la'achar gmar din, there's still some remnants of knas left in this money. Yeah, so you have to pay, but it's still a knas chiyav. It's not a mamon chiyav. Good? So Shemitah might be an argument against this. So the Gemara in Gittin on Yuches Min Aleph says that even though Shemitah is Meshamet, once you're Zakfan B'milveh, so then it's not Meshamet anymore. And the Gemara says, Me'emos like Zakfan B'milveh, from when does it become, when does it become like a milveh? And Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that when do you make it a milveh, it means when does it become like a milveh automatically. And the Gemara says, Misha'ama B'din. Once you have the Gemara Din, so automatically it becomes like a Hava. And at that point, Shemitah is Meshamet. That's the point is that once you have the Gemar Din on the Chiyuv Knas, so Shemitah will be Meshameh. Right, so once you have the Gemar Din, we're treating it like a normal Chov. We're treating it like a normal obligation. We're no longer treating it like the special Din of Knas. Good? What are you going to say about that? No, seriously, that's pretty good right against you now. I don't know why I didn't remember it before.
Threw out the sheet for you.
And then the final issue for this question of whether Chiyav La'achar Gmar Din is normal Chiyav Mamon or not is what happens if you're Modil La'achar Gmar Din. Right, so the Gemara in Ksuas Membez Min Aleph says, you have a case where the Tviya was that there was a Gmar Din already that you're Chayav Knas. Right, I'm Tovei that you owe me money and there was a Gmar Din. Right, Anasta Upititza Spiti Vehemati Din Alecha, something like that. Not getting the lesson right at all. Right, so he claims not only that there was an ones mefateh, but also that there was a gmar din already. The guy says no. Then the guy was modeh. So is he chayev or not? So that's machlokas in the gemara, or a suffix in the gemara. Right, so what's that suffix? So Rashi reads that suffix just as a question of shvua, meaning definitely if you're modeh after the gmar din, you're not pater from the knas anymore. That's not the question in the gemara. The question is just whether you're chayev a shvua or not. He explains that even though if you're a modeh you're chayev, there might be reason to think you're pater from a shvuas pikadon because it's not really mamon, right? It's still not dumyla pikadon. That's what he says, right? So there's still some element of kanas left over, but this is not really a chiddush because this is just what the Ramban said in shvuas, right? Same idea that maybe after kanas there's still no chiyuv shvua on the kanas, on the mamon shel kanas. But Tosfos goes further and Tosfos says no, the question of chiyuv shvua is haba hal talia with the question of whether modeh b'kanas pater. And he says that even after the Gemara Din, there's still a suffix in the Gemara whether Modeh B'Knas will be Pater or not. Okay? So clearly, Tosfos is assuming that the question of Modeh B'Knas applies after Gemara Din because the status of Knas even after Gemara Din is still unique. It's not a normal Chiyuv Mamon, but it's rather in this unique independent status of Chiyuv Knas. Okay? Okay, final issue. So are we going to distinguish between any knasos? So here we pointed to the fact that we might specifically look to distinguish between a chiyuv chatzi nezek knasa and other knasos. We point to other distinctions also, but this one's the clearest distinction. So first of all, in terms of tfisa, so we already pointed out that the Rama thinks that you can be toe-faced up to the value of the nizak, but he thinks it's a takana. The Ravid in Avadim Ches Dalid goes a little farther. He says that you can be tofes palganizka. He doesn't call it a takana. Right, so why could you be tofes palganizka? Why? What's the difference? So we connected it to the Ravid Shita that modeh b'knas pater for palganizka. Sorry, modeh b'knas pater does not apply to palganizka. That if you admit to a chiyuv palganizka, it's your chayuv. Why? Because he says that palganizka karna hu de mishalim. You're not paying, it's not really a knas, you're really paying the karen. Right, so conceptually, the knas of palganizka is different from other knasos. Right, because we still look at it as if you're paying the principal value. Even if it's a knas that Torah imposes, it's still, the payment that you make is principal. So modeh b'knas is not going to apply. And tfisa obviously is going to work, because you're being tofes the karen. Good? Okay. That's all for knasos.
Oh, yeah.
Pray like a prayer.